Masechet Moed Katan, Perek Aleph, Mishnah He. There is a prohibition against feeling sadness on the entire holiday. The Pasuk says, V'samachta behagecha, a person should be happy, he should rejoice during his holiday, and therefore a person should do everything he can to do activities that will keep him in a state of joy. So therefore, the Mishnah is going to talk about what is prohibited on the holiday due to that reason. We'll first mention sara'at. Sara'at is a skin infection, a spiritual infection, affliction that a person gets. The person who gets it is called a metzora. That person is tameh, and he's not allowed to dwell in a walled city within Eretz Yisrael. But the way a person becomes infected, the way he becomes tameh, is not by looking at his skin and examining it on his own. He has to have a kohen confirm that what he's looking at is actually sara'at. So we'll talk about that in the context of doing that on Chol HaMoed. Mishnah says, Rabbi Meir omer, ro'in et hanega'im batehila lehakel, aval lo leahmir. Kohen's allowed to inspect the sara'at on a person's skin on Chol HaMoed, but he's only allowed to give a lenient ruling if he sees it. If he sees a strict ruling, which would tell the guy that he's tameh, he's not allowed to say anything, he has to stay quiet. We don't want the person to find out that he has to leave his family, he has to leave his home, he has to really go into isolation while he's purifying himself, while he has to remain outside the camp until he becomes pure. That would be sad for him to hear on the holiday. So therefore, if a Kohen looks and examines his skin, he tells him, if he happens to see it, that it's pure. But if he looks in it and it's impure, he doesn't say anything, rather he stands there quietly, because the way that a person becomes impure is by the Kohen declaring that person to be impure. So if the Kohen didn't say anything, he's not impure, and he could deal with it after the holiday. But Hachamim are going to disagree. Hachamim omerim, lo lehakev, lo lehamir. A Kohen not allowed to do the inspection at all. Why? According to Hachamim, once a Kohen examines it, he has to give the clear answer. Is it pure? Is it impure? So therefore, we want to avoid a possibility of a Kohen inspecting it and saying, oh, that's impure. Hachamim do not agree with Rabbi Meir's understanding that, oh, as long as you don't say anything, you're okay. According to Hachamim, once the examination is happening, you have an obligation, the Kohen, to say it. We want to avoid him saying that the person is tameh. That would cause sadness, and therefore we avoid any examination till after Chol HaMoed. Another activity that a person is not allowed to do to avoid the melancholy feeling on Chol HaMoed, ve'od amar Rabbi Meir, melaket adam atzmot aviv ve'imo. Rabbi Meir said, a person's allowed to pick up, he's allowed to gather the bones of his mother and father in order to rebury them. Let's say he wanted to move the bones from a cemetery in Chutz La'aretz, in the Galut, in the exile, to Eretz Yisrael. Or in those days, they would bury the dead first in a certain spot, and then they would move them to the ancestral plot with the rest of the family. According to Rabbi Meir, he's allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed, because reburying them in a nicer place is, Mishnah continues, mipnei she'asimcha hi lo. It's a source of joy to him that his parents are going to be buried in a better plot and near their family. So therefore, it's not a problem on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yose omer evel hulo. Rabbi Yose says, what are you talking about? The day that he's gathering his parents' bones, it's a day of avelut, a day of mourning for him. It's going to remind him of his parents' death, and therefore it's forbidden to do on Chol HaMoed. Two more activities that are prohibited even earlier, before the holiday starts, because a person would come into the holiday with sadness. Lo yorer adam al meto. A person not allowed to inspire grief for the loss of his relative, which means not allowed to hire somebody to come talk about his relative and to get people feeling that sadness. That person here, he died earlier. It was a custom in those days to hire a person who would deliver like eulogies and get them, in order to make sure that dead person, his memory is not forgotten, they would bring it up also every so often. V'lo yaspidin, when he's not allowed to give a eulogy or hire somebody to give a eulogy for somebody who passed away now, at that point in time, person who just died, kodim laregel shiloshim yom, not allowed to do it 30 days before the holiday. The sadness that eulogy causes, or that person bringing up the dead person, it's not going to fade quickly. It'll stay with them, it'll make a roshem, it'll make a mark, it'll stay with them for at least 30 days. So therefore, the rabbi is 30 days before the Yom Tov, They banned any sorrow, any type of hesped, in order to make sure that people are going in as happy as possible. And the Bar Tanura brings another reason that the Gemara says, is that people would generally start saving for the holiday and spending for the holiday around 30 days before the holiday starts. And instead of putting that money away properly, what are they going to do? They're going to spend that money on the person who is going to deliver a eulogy for them. So therefore the rabbi said, no, 30 days before the holiday, you're not allowed to spend money on that. Save your money, put it aside, and make sure you're spending it properly on the Simchat Yom Tov, on meat, on wine, on everything else that you're supposed to have, on clothing, on gifts for your wife, on everything else that you're supposed to have for the sake of the holiday. Masechet Moed Katan, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. We mentioned earlier something that is Sorche Rabim, something that's needed for the public, is permitted on Chol HaMoed. This Mishnah will close in on that a little bit. It's going to say that it's not an exception no matter what if it's public, but there has to fit a certain criteria, Mishnah says. En Chofrin Kukin Ukvarot BaMoed. A person not allowed to dig new burial plots. They would have in those days caves underground, and they would put a corpse within the walls. They would have a hole within each wall, and they would put the corpse in the wall. That's what a kuchin is. And ukvarot, and a keved, is a above ground burial chamber. Those would not be allowed to be dug out on Chol HaMoed, even though it's sorech rabim, even though it's a need of the public, since there is extremely great effort needed to put in order to get this done. A person is not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Aval mehanechim et hakuchin b'moed, but you're allowed to adjust the size of the burial plot on Chol HaMoed. Adjustment is okay. It doesn't require great effort. When a public need would also be allowed if there was great effort needed is only when it wasn't an immediate, if it was an immediate use. If it wasn't an immediate use, like this Mishnah, which is the future of burying people later on, then a tirhaya tira would not be allowed. In that circumstance, again, great effort is only allowed lesorech rabim, for the public use, if it's an immediate need. Mishnah continues, talking about, so far we learned two exceptions to the rule of work on Chol HaMoed. We learned that if a person has a monetary loss that he's going to face, he's allowed to work to prevent that loss, and he's also allowed to do something for the public need. Here the Mishnah is going to list another category, work that is needed for the holiday itself. Mishnah says, "Ve'osin nivrechet b'mu'ed." A person is allowed to make a little pond in order to wash laundry on Chol HaMoed, because he's going to use those clothes that he's washing immediately for the purposes of the holiday, and there's also not a great effort in getting it done. You may ask, what are you talking about? Laundry at Chol HaMoed, that's prohibited, as we'll learn in the third perek of this Masechet. So we'll also list exceptions over there for certain needs. A person needs it, he has only one article of clothing, he doesn't have anything else. We'll get into that shortly, but the Mishnah is talking about that exception to the rule, and so he's allowed to make a wash pond for that. You're also allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed for somebody who has passed away. Mishnah says, Ve'aron im hamet behatzer, you're allowed to make a coffin in the courtyard where a dead person is there lying. Even if you need to use a saw and make big boards for the coffin, it's allowed. A person will know that there's a deceased nearby, and it's going to be obvious to him that you're doing work for that sake and not for another person. But if there's no deceased, if there's no corpse right there at the construction site, then the melacha is not allowed, because the people who are looking are going to think that you're doing it for another reason. The Bar Tanura tells us this is only for somebody who is not mefursam, adam mefursam, somebody who's well known. He says if it's for somebody who's well known, then the exception applies no matter what. You're allowed to make a coffin for that person no matter where they are. And he continues and he says, nowadays when we're metem mispar, the Jewish people are not numerous. We're at every death, we notice and we see somebody who's not going to be around anymore. So therefore we have this allowance to care for the dead. For everybody nowadays, everyone is considered to be an Adam Mefursam. Rabbi Yehuda Oser, Ela Im Ken Yesh Imo Nesarim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not allowed to make a coffin for that person unless there were boards already there before Yom Tov. According to him, sawing on Chol HaMoed is not allowed. It requires great effort, and therefore it is not allowed. Even if the deceased is right near the person. He also understands that it's very easy to find boards. So you don't have to go saw and make a whole production. Get boards, make the coffin the right way. You don't have to do all the labor that is needed. You could buy pre-made boards and give the person a respectable coffin as well.